You're listening to Talking Transformation, the Powered by Publix podcast. Throughout this reflective 5-episode limited series, we'll share some innovative approaches our transformation clusters are implementing to advance equitable student outcomes through cross-institutional collaboration. In our final episode, guest host Milan Ephraim will be discussing the work of the Data Integration Cluster and the Data Literacy Institute with Cluster Manager Dr. Denise Nadison.
Hello, and welcome to the Powered by Publix podcast from the Association of Public and Land Grant Universities. My name is Milan Ephraim, and I serve as APLU's Program Manager of International Economic and Community Engagement. In today's episode, we're excited to talk data literacy and integration with APLU's Assistant Vice President for Institutional Data and Analytics, Denise Nadison, and dig a bit deeper into the Powered by Publix initiative. Since 2018, APLU has been working with 127 institutions, broken into 14 clusters, to address different problems in higher education through the Powered by Publix initiative. This initiative has helped push the envelope in institutional collaboration, addressing difficult issues, and exploring solutions in an innovative way. We are having conversations with the APLU staff who manage these clusters to learn more about their work around public university transformation and the process of how the work came to be. If we want to scale what works, we have to know how things were done, not just what was done. We hope to share with you some unique challenges our institutions have faced and the solutions that have surfaced. Thank you for joining us, Denise. Tell us about yourself and why the Powered by Publix initiative is important to you.
Good morning, Milan, and hello, everyone. My name is Denise Nadison, the Assistant Vice President for Institutional Data and Analytics in Academic Affairs here at APLU. Previously, I've served as an institutional researcher at two public higher education institutions, and I'm very happy to be here today to talk about data and the Powered by Publix initiative.
Absolutely. We're really looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Tell me more about the institutions you worked with and why they specifically wanted to work on this topic of data literacy.
Well, data is a growing topic in higher education and probably everywhere. Many of the clusters within the Powered by Publix initiative were interested in using data to examine different issues around student success. But two clusters in particular, the Data Integration Cluster and the Northern Cluster, a total of about 16 institutions, focused their efforts on the institutional data culture. Some institutions wanted to use their time to demonstrate how to use data to resolve student success issues, while others wanted to work on more foundational issues like data governance and data infrastructure. But you really need both in order to have an effective data culture. Overall, though, what we're talking about is change management, not just tools or reports, but changing the way people think about doing their work. This is a different kind of challenge that requires understanding and support at all levels. So as we talked about some of the challenges to data culture, data literacy kept coming up over and over again. And I personally think data literacy is the primary goal, but there is much more that needs to be in place before we can be effective.
So that leads us to the question, what was the solution and how did these institutions integrate data literacy?
So that's, I think, the key to some of the work that we've been doing over the last few years. There really are two parts to it. One is assessing the current culture. So institutions need to know where they are before they can figure out where they're going to go. And two, implementing some sort of data literacy program. The data literacy program that we implemented started back in 2018 in collaboration with the Association for Institutional Research with funding from Ascendium. It was intended to be an in-person program and it was supposed to be launched in 2020, but the pandemic hit. And so we paused the program for a year and then pivoted to a virtual data literacy institute. And the Association for Institutional Research did a really good job of converting the content to an online platform. So by the beginning of 2021, we were ready to go with our first pilot. And this included 5 institutions. Each institution had about 20 participants from different roles on campus, from advising to faculty to senior administrators. They completed what we call an assessment. It's a data maturity index, which they took before they started the program, and they took again after they completed the program. The program itself spanned over an academic year, 3 months in the fall and 3 months in the spring. And during that time, they worked in small groups to identify a problem that they wanted to address. They collected the data, they analyzed the data, drew some conclusions, came to some recommendations, and then they presented their capstone project to senior leaders. So it actually took them from the problem phase to the solution phase, and then talking to people who had the authority to make some decisions so that they can move forward with solving the problem. And through this process, we wanted them to develop an on-campus community of practice, which would eventually be sustained and develop into a more robust data literacy program for the campus. I had mentioned that the Data Maturity Index was used as the assessment tool. This was developed by the Data Integration Cluster, which was led by Texas Tech. The tool yields information about the institution's strengths and weaknesses within their data culture. And the idea is that they can use this information to prioritize their investments and activities to the places where they saw the greatest need. And based on the perceptions of their users, which may change over time, they would be implementing different initiatives to improve the data culture. The Data Maturity Index as a tool was piloted with 15 institutions within clusters for the Data Integration Cluster and the Northern Clusters. And consistently, we found that training showed up as a high area of need across all these institutions. So that's part of the reason why we wanted to really focus on data literacy.
And now that you've identified that need, can you tell us what was the biggest challenge you saw in doing this work?
So the program was developed in collaboration with the Association for Institutional Research, and I think it was a really well-designed program. However, it demanded a lot from our participants. They needed to commit about 4 hours a week over the course of 24 weeks. And while I think the folks who participated were excited about learning about data literacy, I think the time commitment for the program was significant, especially in that post-pandemic era where they were trying to figure out how to get students back and how to offer in-person, hybrid, and online options for their courses. So we did have some challenges with keeping participants engaged. However, we had the senior leaders at their institutions who were also providing words of support and helping them understand that this was a value to the leadership. And so in later iterations of the Data Literacy Institute, the Association for Institutional Research shortened the program to 12 weeks with mostly the same components, but it was less of a commitment. And some of the work was shifted from, instead of being lectured in person, there were reading materials and videos that they could use to support their learning. So I think that helped a lot with the engagement in later iterations of the program.
And from that process, what was the most important a piece of learning that came out of the work? As administrators, as professionals, we're constantly learning and growing, and your work is a perfect example of that. Can you tell us what was the most important piece, the greatest takeaway, if you will, that came out of this work?
I think you touched on it a little bit there, Milan, and that is all these different groups of people coming together to do this work. Many of them had not met each other before. Some of them had not worked together before, but they were coming together to work on a problem that they all felt needed to be worked on. They had some commitment to solving the problem. And in the process of doing the work, they were creating a community of practice. And I think they genuinely enjoyed the opportunity to work outside of their little silo and work collaboratively with colleagues on addressing an issue that had value to the university. When you bring individuals together who are so siloed in a more traditional setting and ask them to work together to solve a problem, they really actually enjoy it. And doing things alone is generally not an effective way for making systemic change. So this way of working together was intentionally designed into the program specifically to try to change the culture of the institution. So this really formed the beginning of the community of practice. So in addition to that sort of internal institutional community practice, we also had an external community of practice. The institutions were led by someone who was a project lead for each institution. And so they came together on a monthly basis and met with their peers at other institutions and talked about some of the challenges they faced and asked each other questions about how they dealt with that, with their challenges. For example, one of the institutions in the post data literacy program, they were developing their on-campus program. So they created the full course in Canvas and they had 60 faculty and staff sign up in the beginning, but only one person completed the course after a certain period of time. So the lesson there that was learned is maybe try a hybrid model that has a cohort that can be followed through, which another institution is actually doing. So they're learning from one another, and the value of that external community of practice, I think, is really valuable. We've just completed cohort two, and one of the requests was, can we get together with cohort one and just have a little huddle to sort out, you know, some of the issues they have in developing their own on-campus program. So we're going to be doing that later this summer.
I'm excited to see how these initiatives are moving and changing in all of the different offerings that you give to our practitioners, and they're really inspiring. But the question is, how do we really apply the lessons learned that you've done at the Powered by Publics initiative? So what recommendations might you have for other institutions or even organizations that want to explore data literacy on their campuses?
Yeah, no, I think there is a huge demand and interest in data literacy, and we're hoping to come out with a document, maybe a website where this information would be available. But just to summarize some of the recommendations we have, first, I would suggest getting buy-in from senior leaders, from the campus community. I know some of them are really busy, and we can't expect too much of them, but to be clear about what they can do to support the effort. I think many of them will be willing, but they just may not have a lot of time to think through it. So you do need to have a leader who can help them clarify what their actions need to be. I would also suggest creating a data working group or a data literacy council that's made up of different stakeholders across campus, and creating a communication plan. How do you communicate with your stakeholders? How do you communicate with your leaders? And just really informing the community in general, the value of data literacy and how it helps improve student success. Without that clear communication and clarification on why it's important, it's really easy for individuals to fall into their old patterns of how we work. I mentioned having a person who's taking the lead. So the next recommendation is to have a central unit that's leading this effort. And that person would be promoting data literacy within the community. There's often a lot of chaos and confusion with new initiatives, and having a single go-to person or a go-to unit makes it easier to navigate the path, and it facilitates learning much more easily. Third, I would recommend institutions assess their data culture. What is most needed, what is desired by both the senior leaders and your end users? Know what that is, know what your weaknesses are. Some institutions have implemented an assessment tool, and I mentioned the Data Maturity Index before, but others have just done listening tours. So whatever the methods are for collecting that information, do the assessment and share the findings with your stakeholders. Have a conversation. You may not reach consensus on what the priorities are, but having a conversation and coming to an understanding on where to start will really engage the community. And I would say the final recommendation is to develop a strategy. Be clear on what the roles are, communicate what the data infrastructure, the data architecture is at the institution. I think a lot of people don't realize that data moves from system to system and it changes and transforms. And so help them understand at a high level where the data are, where the resources are for learning and training. Have events where individuals can come and share how they're using data and how it impacts student success. I think the broader community will really appreciate having an opportunity to celebrate their milestones and to really bring attention to data literacy on their campuses.
And we're certainly excited to see what unfolds in the future. Those are great recommendations and will help form next steps for our colleagues and our partners. That is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you to our listeners for joining us today. And of course, special thanks to Denise Nadison for sharing your thoughts on data literacy. I'm APLU's Milan Ephraim, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Powered by Publix podcast.
This has been Talking Transformation, the Powered by Publix podcast. Our work on this project is generously funded by Affinity. To hear all five episodes, please search for Powered by Publix on SoundCloud.